on maynard.com.au. Hey, you!
Bunga bunga!
Well, a happy new bunga bunga to you, Tim Ferguson.
And a happy new bunga bunga year to you, Maynard!
It's 2015, so we're looking back at the wreck that was 2014 and we're staring into the abyss of 2015 ahead of us. What was your New Year's Eve like? What did you do, Tim?
We got totally spare in Canada. We were in downtown Toronto. It was minus 28 degrees outside and minus 27 inside. It was outrageous. There was partying, there was screaming. I didn't understand any of it because most of it was in French.
And did you get a chance to do some of that French material that you've been saving up all these years?
Zut alors! Elle est toi, les enfants de Maldives, c'est planez-vous? Ouais, ouais, ouais.
We're just coming to you from the Fru Fru Cafe. Hello, sir, how are you?
I'm very good. How about you?
Pretty good. How's 2015 here at Fru Fru and Glee Point Road?
We have plans, but haven't decided yet what we're going to do.
That topless waitressing that you are going to do, is that still on the board?
Soon. If you want, I can do it now.
Oh. We'll get back to him on that one there. He's put his nipples where his mouth is.
This is why we edit this program.
Look, and thank you to everyone who's been saying, is Bunga Bunga coming back? What's the go? We're back. It's a big year. And we're actually going to look for sponsors this year, see if anyone wants to sponsor us.
Do you feel like sponsoring Bunga Bunga? Your commercial would sound something like this. Hi, we're Maynard and Tim from Bunga Bunga. Are you feeling... Maybe what you need is a little bit of... in your diet.
Simple as that. Simple. And it works with anything. Cheese, two elephants.
Cheese, two elephants. Since when have those two products been put together? So if you feel you have a product of any kind, then get your... down to Bunga Bunga.
That was the most crap boy band ever, too. I remember Cheese, two elephants. They were terrible.
Oh, man. They tried, didn't they? They tried, but a little bit like electronic graffiti. They burnt bright but fast.
On today's show, we're going to be looking at cats. We're going to be declaring it. In fact, let's declare it now. Yes, exactly. Blow your horn. Because it is the international year of the Doug Anthony All-Stars this year, Tim. It's going to be big for you guys.
It is. We're up to our 48th anniversary of the group. 48 years we've been on the road singing songs. It's been a hell of a ride, but we're still going, Maynard.
It's that kind of month. It's been the 40th birthday for Triple J.
Triple J!
I went along to the reunion for staff for 40 years. So you're talking to staff, Double J, people that were there when it was actually, I think it was compulsory to smoke marijuana while you were on air during the voice breaks. You had to do it while you're on air talking.
Well, that was the only cool way to do it back then. Mm. Now, of course, you're not allowed to smoke marijuana any time apart from when the news is on.
Which helps a lot.
And all news is good news.
I've got to give a big shout out to Charlie Brooker. His New Year's Eve show, Newswipe 2014, was a fantastic look back, 1 hour show of all the big news items in Britain. And it ended with him singing with the remaining members of the Blockheads doing Reasons to be Fearful, with them chanting, I've got a rising sense of dread. I've got a rising sense. And he just went through all the news items. Really good.
An ever-growing sense of dread. An ever-growing sense of dread.
Reasons to be Fearful, 14. Constant global crisis, Syria to ISIS, rising living prices, we can't cope. Rolling news is leering and looking on and cheering, and Danny Dyer's appearing in our leading soap. Historic crimes admitted, Pistorius acquitted, Dapper laughs transmitted, shop floor war, online woman hating, gamer bloody gating, and below the bread on dating on Channel 4. Reasons to be fearful. 2014.
Charlie Booker, and it's just a great show, a great talent, and a great wrap-up for last year, which is now dead, buried, cremated, and... well, last year.
Is there something you picked up over the break that you think's a cool show?
Danger 5. I mean, Danger 5, Series 2, an extraordinary television spectacle. The best thing since, I don't know, Bellbird. There's a great scene where one woman calls another woman, the other woman picks up the phone, and the first woman fires a pistol into her phone, and the bullet flies out. the other phone killing the other woman.
They had a similar thing going on with a shotgun in a toilet in the first or second episode.
That's the way, firstly, to save money. Secondly, a really good way to move the story along.
Also, each episode has its own soundtrack. They tended to theme every episode in the second season, like in last season, around a certain sound. So you'll get, some will be more synthy than others. Sometimes it'll sound a bit more like Oingo Boingo. Sometimes it'll sound a bit more like the soundtrack to Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
And it's the only series I've ever seen where Adolf Hitler is a regular character.
Johnny Hitler. He's Johnny Hitler. He's at the back of the class. Johnny, are you burning books again?
Yeah, it's made by the same people who made Italian Spider-Man. Check out Italian Spider-Man on YouTube. That will lead you to Danger 5. What are you doing if you haven't watched it?
We've been continuing on the Maynard's Malay stream with various shows over the break. Bunga Bunga is just one of the shows we have. I'm reluctant to call it a network. We have more than one show.
We have the ability to fire a bullet at our telephones and it will come out somewhere.
But I had a chat with David Ashby New Year's Eve afternoon. I'm sure David was there having a few cocktails and everything. In fact, he actually interrupted the interview to go outside and have a smoke. I respect an artist that does that.
I met David Ashby at Doug Anthony's gig in Adelaide, and it really was just 10 minutes of no, you are. No, mate, you are. No, no, stop. You. No, you. He's awesome.
I asked him about that, and he said it was like, yeah, it was like meeting his idols. He was way impressed with you guys.
Paul invited me to the Dash show in Adelaide, and you know, I went, and very familiar with Dash, and I actually haven't seen them live because when they were doing the circuit, I was like 4 years old. It was actually a really good show. I kind of wish that, you know, television execs were ballsy enough to just take a theatre and put it on TV.
Oh, and I was so impressed with him. I mean, he made Italian Spider-Man. He made Danger 5. He is David Ashby. And if you haven't been watching David Ashby, what the hell have you been doing?
There's also the unsung member of their team there, the one that gets, Kate is her name, who gets the finance together and is good with the grant work there. And I think people like that need to get a prop every once in a while because, you know, it's all right being funny, but you've got to get someone who can negotiate to get your money.
Oh, absolutely. And she's hot. Make sure that person is really good looking. Otherwise...
So which one of the three Doug Anthonys usually goes in to do that kind of stuff?
Well, of course they sent me for a couple of reasons. Firstly, well, I look like Tim Ferguson. But secondly...
That's the sympathy angle?
The sympathy angle. I go in a wheelchair now. And I've learnt a little puppy whimper, so I will say things like, so it would be really good if we could have your venue for cheaper than other people. It works, man.
Do you think the sympathy works better if you get your wheel caught in the door closing on you going in or going out? Or is it just comedic if it happens going out?
I just look for where the boot prints are at the end of the day. And if they're on the front, I know it didn't start well. When I wheel in, people go, oh, my God, it's multiple sclerosis. They don't know that that's only two.
Being the International Year of DAS, what do you got planned?
Well, the world tour goes on. We have Edinburgh is what we're talking about. And Jess Winfield in Los Angeles, who is one of the Reduced Shakespeare Company inventors, has told us, you know, come to LA, we're going to have a great time and we'll put you on, and so we'll get a venue and we'll deal with our American fan. And of course, we're going around Australia. We're going to Bathurst, which is a little known town near Bathurst. No one's quite sure where it is, but we're going to Bathurst very soon.
And a shout out to Peter Young and all the Chips Are Ready crowd there. He had this wacky band called the Chips Are Ready in the early days in the 90s, and he lives there now. He's getting a skeptical group together. If you're of a skeptical, critical thinking nature and you live in Orange or Bathurst, he's getting a group together there. Look for Peter Young online. And they're having a retro gig there. They're going to invite me to town to have a bit of a retro gig and play some tunes later in the year. And you guys, it's going to be a big year for Orange and Bathurst.
It's going to be a huge year for Bathurst in particular, but also Blaney, the little-known town of Blaney, which used to be the home of the largest abattoir in the world. The karma in Blaney is not good. Now it's just a dog food factory, so the karma has not improved. If ever there is a nuclear accident in Australia, it will start in Blaney.
Let me guess, it was built on the site of some indigenous monument, I guess.
Well, they moved the headstones, Maynard, but they didn't move the bodies.
I think we should take a break, because this weekend I saw Shona Knife, the new album Overdrive, is out, and hello to everybody who came up and said, you're the reason I'm here tonight, they said to me.
You're the reason why I love that band so much. Maynard, you were the person who launched them in Australia. You did it on your radio show.
It's a signed copy.
It's a signed copy. I'm just going to take a moment while you listen to the song to touch the autographs. Oh, yeah, I can feel it.
Well, this one is the latest single. They've had one Bad Luck song. There's an interview on the Main Arts Malay stream with Naoko about this, and I thought she said Bad Butt Song. This one's like a cat. English version we're going to play here, and it's all about how the cat doesn't have to go to work. The cat just lies around all day. And if you've seen the cats that are in the film clips for this Like a Cat song, they look like they've been lying around day. They haven't been jumping, and they certainly haven't been running and catching any prey.
And as you listen, think of the campaign we could do for your product, known as...
Like a Cat, Shonen Nai from their album Overdrive. Yes, the cat doesn't have to get on the bus and go to work, Tim. And what does your cat do during the day? Is he doing anything with the commodities market?
He is working on commodities, but he just wants to bring the whole market down. He is what you could only describe as a deeply, deeply, deeply North Queensland conservative person in his politics. Guns, he doesn't just want them, he wants them all.
And he's watching a lot of Sky News. I notice whenever I'm over there, the cat's got his paw on the remote and it's always Sky News.
He prefers Sky News to Fox News simply because it doesn't promise to be fair and balanced like Fox News does.
Yeah, he gets fair and balanced. I don't want any of that.
I don't want any fair and balanced. I just want it to be poised.
As we do here, we like to ask you what's really going on in the world. And, of course, the thing everyone's always talking about at any given space, anywhere on the planet, is cats. Tim?
Cats, cats, cats. Everywhere you go. I have a rule about people and their cats in everyday conversation. And, dear listener, you might want to adopt it. I just have a simple rule that people are only allowed to talk about their cats or their dogs or their budgies for 90 seconds. after which they have to change topics because there is no way you can remain interested in any animal story beyond 90 seconds. After that, you're just faking it because you want their money or you want to get laid.
I actually discovered the very, very last episode of Tom and Jerry, the official one that was made in the 50s, the canon Tom and Jerry. They both kill themselves at the end of the last episode. They're both on the railway tracks about to get hit by a train because they've been dumped by their lovers. It's a dual suicide at the end of it.
Yeah, look, that happens a lot in animal show business. They ride high, you know, it's all great when they're on top. But then when the lights start to go off, the cats realise, I've got a short attention span anyway, and they check out.
As you know, there's no dialogue in Tom and Jerry. There is in this one. Although it's not the character speaking, it's Jerry's inner dialogue talking about his troubled friend. And at the end, he becomes trouble and joins him on the railway track. Very spooky.
Poor Tom. In a few minutes, it'll all be over. Poor, miserable, lovesick creature.
Same thing happened to Skippy. Several Skippies, in fact.
Is that where they got those extra paws that they used in the close-ups?
Yeah, yeah. They were used as key rings by Frank Thring. I think that's what he said.
Let's see what you say about your cats. The question I was actually asking about the cats, because I was inspired by the Acro Cats, so look up Acro Cats online. There's a film clip from their Christmas show, which I put up, which is wonderfully lo-fi, isn't it, Tim?
Wonderfully. It's like going to a fringe festival in your telephone.
It's great because the cats do perform. And this is the thing. This woman has trained 5 rescue cats to do tricks on stage on command. And one of those cats actually has the Guinness Book of Records for the longest cat jump. It's only 6 foot. And I'm sure domestic cats can probably jump further than that. But can they do it when the guy from Guinness Book of Records comes around to measure it?
Exactly. Cats tend to freeze up when they realise the stakes have just gone up a little. Cats don't like fame. In fact, they don't like doing anything. So to get a cat to jump 6 feet just because you tell it to is an extraordinary feat.
And there's a photo of the jumping cat on our Bunga Bunga Facebook page. So get over there and have a look and join up.
Join up.
And here was the question that I asked you. Tim and I want to know, if you could train a cat to do something, what would that be? And what was your answer to that, Tim?
Well, my answer involved ludicrous amounts of peanut butter. I don't think I can repeat it on pod.
I'd always like it if the cat would just jump up onto your lap when you wanted it to. Hop up. And that'd be great.
Well, I want to train a cat to acknowledge me, that's all. To acknowledge my existence.
Well, here's some answers that came through on the maynard.com.au Instagram group. Peggy Dixon, she would train her cat to make a martini. Mr. Sense, who is ultra at the Hellfire Club in Sydney, she would train her cat to kill Abbott. The image I have in my mind is the Russian Grey from the movie Cats and Dogs, the ninja cat. Someone's bringing their agenda to this, which I quite like. Little Chief Paleface, Tegan from Newcastle, says she would train a cat to run me a bath and bring me some ciders.
Hey, now that is not only a good cat, but that's actually a good person in that bath. I'm trusting her.
Crooked Sophia Club said, Sophia said she'd teach her cat love.
Yeah, man, they could certainly pick that up. But first, just acknowledgement, just outside of feeding time, some kind of nod to the idea that we actually run the place.
Donna Gow says, get me food when I'm hungover. That would be good if a cat could do that. Miriam says all of the above. She wants a ninja killer cat that can make a martini and run baths.
Well, I want to live at Miriam's house if she's going to have a cat like that.
And Kathy Ballou on Instagram with the last one here, not take up the whole frickin' bed.
Congratulations for having a frickin' bed, because they are the Japanese bed famously advertised by a very dour man outside Sydney Airport. Yeah, a cat who knows their place, which is not on the bed.
What if you've got a savannah cat or something? I know cats can stretch out, but particularly if you've got a king-size bed, there should be at least a little sliver for you on the edge.
Yeah, it has to find out its place in the chain of command. That's where my cat, nicknamed Kittler, really has to learn not only that there are boundaries, there are strong borders.
She loves sitting on you and covering you in fur just before you go out.
If I'm wearing black, that is what the cat will do. Now, you know, it's not that I'm a cat person, because I'm not. It's kind of interesting having a cat around just so you can see what it's like to live with young liberals.
Well, I don't have a cat for one main reason. I'm not home enough. I'm not home enough. The cat would get bored. It would start commodity trading on the market. It could cause a slide of oil prices even further.
Oh, yeah, and pussy porn. I mean, it looks up pussy the next thing you know. It's not that kind of cat. But by that stage, it's too late. It's on your permanent Google record.
Google cat spanking. Google cat spanking, because it is a sub-area of cat videos, and it's basically cats that will present themselves to have a little rough pat in the posterior area, because some cats quite like a little rough slapping on the... Yeah, they do, Tim. You're laughing. This is true. You think we'd lie here on Bunga Bunga?
Owners of cats have found that aggressively patting the rear end of a kitty yields very interesting results. Now, we did some research and discovered that apparently every feline has a sweet spot, which when stimulated gives them some strange sense of enjoyment. Some cats even present themselves to their masters, who may choose to spice things up with some toys.
Another funny clip on YouTube is dogs sitting on cats. Check that one out. See who's king of the jungle now, pussy.
I'm trying to get an interview with the AcroCat people because it's just so cute. And even though the show, it doesn't really flow smoothly as you would imagine any show with five different cats would, they all come out usually one at a time, except when they play in a band at the end. That's right. They play in a band at the end. When nothing's happening and it's a complete silence, the audience is waiting, you'll just hear this meow from one of the little cat boxes. And the whole audience will go, oh, really, you can't lose with the show.
Check it out. And please, if you are one of the AcroCat people and you're listening to this, please get in touch with us. We'd love to have you on the show. And maybe you can help us sell this product.
We have a very interesting list of interviewees for this year. There's two people on our list that we want to speak to for Bunga Bunga. Tanya Plibersek and the AcroCats. And that's the list, the beginning and the end. We've got two people that we want to interview, and one of them trains cats and one of them is a politician.
The thing with Tanya Plibersek isn't that she's refused, it's just that I think we've forgotten to ask her. She's only up the road. So, Tanya, if you are listening to Bunga Bunga, please can you go to the effort and get a hold of us? Because we just feel like idiots joining the queue of people who want to hang around Tanya.
Because you think that she'll be Prime Minister for 6 months at some stage in the future. Is that what you think, Tim?
I'm thinking 6 months and a day. Tanya, is it true? Will it happen? Come on down to Bunga Bunga and let's talk about it.
Yeah, it's still not too late for Barry Unsworth to make a run at federal politics.
Barry Unsworth is still making the same run at federal politics that he has for about 40 years.
The powerful figure of a man in a cardigan is sadly missing from the Australian political scene.
Give that man a bottle of Grange.
And what was revealed to you on our Bunga Bunga Facebook page about cats, Tim? Have you got that up? Oh, well... So we'll cross back to the studio for this musical interlude and then we'll put the slide of the cats up, okay?
Slide of the cat.
And we're back.
We are back.
That one might be where the sponsorship break would be, Tim, where that music was.
It would, and people right now could be thinking, gee, I want to go and get me some of that.
We go to the Bunga Bunga Facebook page now, because as you know, we were asking you, of course, what would you train a cat to do? And there's been some Bunga Bunga response to this in a Bunga Bunga fashion. Katie Betts says she would train her cat to lie around all day, leave fur on every item of clothing she owns, and spew hairballs in random locations around the hails. Oh, wait. She must be an awesome cat trainer because she's done that already.
She's done that already. That's amazing. And, of course, Katie Betts knows what she's doing pretty well on every topic.
Sue Wilden says, I trained my cat to go work for me so she could curl up on the couch all day licking herself. Well, there's no downside to that.
I'm confused. Who's speaking in the first person there?
Grant McCarran would train his cat to play only cool jazz.
There's no such thing as cool jazz.
Of course, coming out of left field, as usual, is Tony Push, Mark O'Brien, who says he would train a cat to fly a Messerschmitt 163.
Yeah, the 163 was always the beauty.
I think the 163 was the flying wing. It was the German flying wing one. They only made two prototypes or something. So if you could train a cat to do you're doing pretty good.
You're doing great. In fact, you can train a cat to actually get in the thing. You're already halfway there.
And of course, we must acknowledge the great aeronautical work of Hammy the Hamster over the years too, flying around that biplane.
At last, the two friends are airborne again. Are you sure this is safe?
Oh, yeah. And don't forget Dumbo the elephant. How did he do it? Nobody knows.
Kim Kajenswood said she'd train her cat to wake me up when one of my five alarm goes off. I reckon if you could get the cat to program some of those alarms for you, that would be even more impressive.
The simple thing is, three mornings in a row, as soon as the alarm goes off, feed the cat. Do that 3 days in a row and you will not be allowed to stay where you are, unconscious, if the alarm's gone off.
Controversial opinion here. Lindsay Coombs said they'd like to train their cat to be a dog.
Yeah, that sort of Lindsay Coombs communism is not going to work. Once again, Lindsay Coombs with his social engineering of cats is pushing it too hard, too far. Lindsay, we love you, but you're out of your mind.
And Shell Lancaster with our last one here. Train the cat. I'm still trying to train the boys in the house to put the toilet seat down. Please, boys, think of the girls.
Or this, how about you learn to put the toilet seat down if you wish it to be there? It's just a thought. Put it into your mind. Perhaps the trouble is, ladies, that you keep putting the seat down when its natural position is up.
I feel a big backlash coming at you on that one on the Bunga Bunga Facebook page, Tim.
Yeah, well, that's a bunch of dirty girls who prefer the toilet seat to be down. Really, it should be up so it can get away from the cat.
I think it's time for Tim's historical hypothetical here. We haven't heard one for a while here, so I've gone with an item that's happened a couple of times in Australia history. You get to have a spray in this one, Tim, too, I think. Tim's historical hypothetical. Well, we put Tim Ferguson in a pivotal place in Australian history, or in this case, multiple places in Australian history, and he has an opportunity to change the present, the future, and the past.
Don't expect too much in the early days.
Tim, the time is in the 2000s sometime, and now you are a legislative writer. You have the chance to write anything into the preamble of the Constitution of Australia. What do you put in there? Do you put the Aboriginal people in? Do you put the Indigenous people in? Or is that a distraction, as many Aboriginal activists, Indigenous activists say? What they really want is land rights. Do you put them in the preamble, or do you just put something else in altogether, or do you not have one at all?
I wrote a preamble in the late 90s, and that preamble has since been co-opted in South Africa with just the names changed.
Well, so they crossed the names you put in there out and then put their own ones in with texture.
Yeah, pretty well. It kind of works, I suppose. So I have been down this track before. What would I put in a preamble? I reckon 70,000 years of Aboriginal occupation of Australia does deserve some kind of mention. For example, you could say, for 70,000 years, Aboriginal people, or whatever they want to be called, occupied Australia. We could just have a long list of all the Aboriginal tribes, mobs, families. After that, I think definitely we need to have a few regulations. One of them about speedos. Do they go up the crack or not? To put them up the crack, you have to be working as a professional lifeguard. You can't just walk on the beach and just nick them up the crack.
And that'd be great, because you have the preamble mentioning the Indigenous people, then straight into the wearing of speedos on the beach. That'd be great. I'd like to see the Queen read those two paragraphs.
And she would read it with such perfect elocution. But some kind of preamble mentioned civil rights, just so that we get more lawyers. I think we need more lawyers, and there's nothing like putting in something about actual human rights into a constitution to expand the industry.
What's going to happen with this one? I thought it was a done deal. See, I was under the misapprehension that it was done a while ago, and why are they talking about this again? Obviously not paying attention. Is there any Prime Minister that anybody ever went easy on, apart from Menzies?
Billy Snedden had a pretty easy time, until it turns out the time he was having was just a little bit too easy, and most of the time we give a hard time to our Prime Ministers, and why not? They have scrabbled to the top of the dung heap. And by the time they get there, they're covered in crap. They have told more fibs, made more myths truths. They have drawn bigger pictures to lead us all into the wrong direction. So it serves them right to be at the top of the tree in an ex-convict colony like Australia.
They've got to watch out for that ninja cat too that's coming for them too.
Oh yeah, got to watch out for the ninja cat. That thing, it'll scratch you. And you just might need to spray on yourself some...
Good product placement there, Tim.
Thank you very much. Bunga Bunga, available for product placement. Do you sell?
On the first Bunga Bunga, we're just asking that question as well. Is it too early in 2015 to pee your pants yet, Tim?
You can pee your pants any time you like. Ooh, look, a Qantas stewardess.
Sure it isn't just the morning's host from 7:02.
Oh, yeah. They all dress so smartly.
They do.
They all wear that scarf like that. What I think about January is January always seems to be a bit of a missed opportunity. Most people are on holiday, particularly in the media. They don't come back till February sometime. They said they leave around about Melbourne Cup time, don't they? And then they come back in February.
Yeah, and they all come back a little bit tired, a little bit guilty. And usually if they are a blonde woman and it's a news program, well, they're just not there.
Can you give us a brief summary of your time in Canada? Very quickly there, can you explain the country to us? What happens to us? Some advice for people visiting Canada.
Oh, Canada. Our home.
And what are you doing?
With what?
No, with the words. It sounds... You're speaking it.
I'm singing it. It's how I sing.
Just, like, oh.
Oh, Canada.
No, can you do it, sure, no. Can you do the, like, melody, like, oh, Canada.
Oh, Canada.
Yeah, that's no. No, it's good.
That sounds,
no, no.
Canada is the most polite country in the world. You turn up there and the first thing customs say is sorry. Sorry, I need to see your passport. It's just, it's so polite. And then they're sorry that we have to let you into the country now. And then eventually they have to say, I'm sorry we have to see you go. But you turn up there at Christmas time. It was a green Christmas this year, which is very strange. And quite warm in North Toronto at about 6-7 degrees. But I was informed, don't worry, snow will be provided. The snow hit at a rate of 5 feet in one night. Bang! You wake up in the morning, you got to open the door, and the door won't open. So you eat a lot of bacon to emotionally cope with it. Everybody has polite conversations because you're all locked up, and nobody wants to be rude because you get put outside. By the time we left, it was minus 28 in Toronto, which with wind is about 38.
Certainly. Come here. We just have some people wandering past our table here at the Frou Frou, and
thanks, mate.
They come here to get us. Hello, sir. What's your name?
Peter Faruja.
Hi, Peter. How are you? He's getting a photo with Tim there.
Yeah.
Where do you remember Tim from? What's your memory?
Yeah, the Doug Anthony in the All-Stars. We're down from Port Macquarie.
Oh, okay.
Oh, right.
I said, that person I've seen on TV a lot, because they're big ABC watchers, so, you know, and when you used to be on the... Oh, I used to love that show, yeah.
Oh, these people, can you say bunga bunga?
Bunga bunga.
One more time.
Bunga bunga.
See you later.
Yeah.
Thank you, my pleasure. Thank you. They're on a Sydney visit from Port Macquarie, would you? So you've got fans in Port Macquarie, Jim?
Yes, my only fans live in Port Macquarie. Ah.
It's nice that you sponsor the trip to get them here too.
And setting up that thing where they go, ooh, who's that guy? And they come over here as if it's random, took weeks.
I think we have a new Bunga Bunga sting from his daughters too.
Bunga Bunga. Bunga.
We do, yeah. Even though they hadn't even heard of the program, they're right behind it.
Bunga Bunga's a bit like that. Even if you don't know about it, you're down with it. Well, of course, there's a few reoccurring characters in the Bunga Bunga show that have not been reoccurring of late. Jesus of Glebe, who hasn't been seen on the streets. We've got the independent filmmaker of Glebe on his motorbike. Again, unheard of today. What do you think's happening? Is everyone on holidays, Tim?
Well, I think Jesus of Glebe, otherwise known as Young and Wealthy Jesus, is holiday in Liechtenstein at the moment with his mater and pater. As for the motorcycle-riding screenwriter of Glebe, who knows? He may have run out of petrol.
You mean he may be taking public transport?
I think so. Public transport is the last resort of the screenwriting rogue.
Uh-oh, what's going to happen now?
And of course, there's that little kid that's really got it in for you as well, who makes an appearance on this show every episode.
Wait a second, there's that lousy little kid now.
He needs to get some into his life and he wouldn't be so snippy.
Yeah, what do you think of that, you little brat?
I think we should round up with Tim's right of reply. This is where Tim Ferguson replies to something that didn't really want a reply.
I know everybody's carrying on about the Prime Minister giving a knighthood to Prince Philip. Straighten up, Australia. Wake up to yourself. Prince Philip has not only been the lover of Australia's despot for over 312 years.
Long time.
He is Greek. And what could be more Australian than an old Greek guy shuffling around after some woman going, whoa, whoa, eating food, living the good life? Isn't that the Australian thing? And, of course, another thing about Prince Philip is he doesn't receive any money at all. He's been scraping by for years now. going around Balmoral, busking a little, living off the coins he's given.
I'm just wondering if he would perhaps have the best collection of teaspoons from bowling clubs in the Commonwealth.
He'd have to have a great bunch of teaspoons. And look, who cares if he makes the occasional off-colour remark? Who doesn't? Come on, listener. Every once in a while, even for a joke, you make off-colour remarks. But Prince Philip is, he's a frightened man. He's a fellow, we're getting picked on, he's a fellow who doesn't ask for much apart from Balmoral and when he's in London, Buckingham Palace. All it costs Australia to give him a knighthood is maybe $40,000-$50,000 and that's it. Eh? It's like a kind word. Doesn't cost much.
Wouldn't even pay his phone bill.
Wouldn't even pay his phone.
Oh, that really makes me mad.
That is a very interesting point.
I can just imagine him going out to the mailbox there at the palace, getting the cheque in the mail and just wondering if there's been a zero left off the end of it.
Oh, yeah. Now, you might say that Tony Abbott giving Prince Philip a knighthood is a fuck-up of inestimably gigantic proportions. OK, now that you've said that, let's move on. Thank you very much for my right of reply.
I thought Paul Livingstone was down for the honours this year. Didn't happen.
No, Paul Livingstone, otherwise known as Flacco, deserves one for his service to...
The service of putting up with you two in Doug Anthony's. And he's doing a show at the Adelaide Fringe on his own. When's that coming up?
It'll be at the Adelaide Fringe. I think it's smack bang in the middle of the Adelaide Fringe, whenever that is. And it's Flacco, the man, the myth, the mountain, the genius at work. He'll be discussing the theory of time and timing, space and the universe. It'll be Flacco at his most awesome.
This might be an interview for the Skeptic Zone. Sounds like he's gone into the scientific critical thinking arena there a bit.
And because he's Flacco, he's gone in backwards blinking.
Listeners, for those of you that haven't met Paul McDermott and Paul Livingstone outside of being on stage, don't get the idea that they're somehow being quiet or weird to you or something, because they are actually quite quiet people when they're on their own time, aren't they? Particularly Paul Livingstone. You might think he's passing you off or something like that. Well, he's just got his own inner dialogue going on there.
Oh, yeah. The geniuses are always a bit uncomfortable to hang around with. And also, careful what you wish. You want to get to know Paul McDermott better? Do you? Really? How do you think that's going to work out for you? Why do you think I have so much facial surgery? Why do you think I drink Botox milkshakes in the morning? I'm just trying to survive the stress. So next time, you know, Mr. McDermott is a bit standoffish, the next time Flacco is a bit aloof, thank your lucky stars, because you're one step away from spending a day in the back of a Tarago van with those bastards.
Bunga Bunga 11 is out the door here. If you'd like to contact us, if you've got something to say about toilet seats or cats, and let's face it, who hasn't got something to say about that, to Tim's Twitter address.
I am at RealTimFerguson.
And I'm Maynard Comow. Just take the dots out of maynard.com.au and you've got Maynard Comow. Or you could say Comow's my second name if you like.
Comow.
Bunga Bunga Facebook page. And everything is at maynard.com.au. And you can subscribe to this show in iTunes, Stitcher and Downcast.
Or you can just subscribe to it by praying to the ether.
But subscribing through iTunes is more effective.
Yes, that works better. Don't just rely on praying to the ether. Sorry about that, Tim.
Do you think we need to plug before we go, Tim? Have you got any shows coming up yourself? It's all going to be happening at the Seymour Centre.
Yes, Doug Anthony All-Stars are going to be playing at the Seymour Centre in March. Then we're coming to Bathurst. And then we're going to, I don't know, and then we're going round, you know, here and there and other places. And if you're in the UK, prepare the kittens. We'll be coming over soon. And if you're in LA, fuck you.
Tim, of course, will be giving a speech to the United Nations Security Council later on, because it is the International Year of Doug Anthony All-Stars. So we're proud to be the first to get behind that, possibly the last, but the first to get behind that here on Bunga Bunga. You heard it first.
Bunga Bunga. Meantime, buy this.
Sunshine came softly through my window today. Could have tripped out easy, but I changed my ways. It'll take time, I know it, but in a while You're gonna be mine, I know it. You'll do it in style. 'Cause I made my mind up, you're going to be mine, I tell you right now. Any trick in the book now, baby, all I can find. Everybody is hustling just to have a little scene. When I say we'll be cool, I dig that, you know what I mean. We stood on a beach at sunset, you remember when? I know a beach where, baby, it never ends. When you've made your mind up forever to be mine, I'll tell you right now, any trick in the book can now, baby, all I can find. Superman and Green Lantern, they've got nothing on me. I can make like a turtle in a dark fog, afloat in the sea. You can just sit down thinking on your velvet throne, yeah, about a rainbow, say you can have for your own. 'Cause I made my mind up, you're going to be mine. I'll pick up your hands and slowly blow your little mind. 'Cause I made my mind up, you're going to be mine. Any trick in the book, I made my mind up, you're going to be mine. I tell you right now, I made my mind up, you're going to be mine.
Banga banga.
On maynard.com.au. Hey, you!